Go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic, which stands nation
under God,
indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Okay, today's Thursday, September 22nd. It's 7:11 p.m. Meeting call to order. On the roll call, Richard Zekin. Sarah Vidomsky. She's excused. Gino DiGiovanni.
Here. Here.
Charles Sampson.
Present.
There's a vacancy in the chair of the Board of Apportionment and Taxation, so that's no one's here for that. Bhamini Patel is excused. And James Gilday, I believe, is also excused. So the record should reflect there are 3 out of 7 present, so you do not have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Copy that. Number 4, we're going to do a public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak? State your name, address for the record. Anybody from the public like to speak? Third and last call.
I'd like to say something.
Who was that?
It's David Leonard, Fire Chief, 20 Gennady Drive.
Go for it.
I'd like to thank the members that are here and say it's embarrassing and disgusting that it's been 3 years and we've had no capital plan. And there's equipment that's aging, there's apparatus that has been taken out of service. And the fact that we can't get a committee together is an insult to the people that serve this city and work in this city. You know, running a volunteer fire department is difficult enough. One of the things that keeps our members coming around is that they feel that the city values them by purchasing them top of the line equipment. And I can tell you that feeling is not being met. And one of the big reasons is this committee. So I do thank the members that have shown up today. And I just think it's disgusting that we got to keep doing this game. So thank you.
Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, if I could.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just going to, I know normally during public portion, we don't reply. Just to correct a couple things. And Chief Leonard, I reflect your statements, but I would like to say that this committee did meet and we did put forward a budget in 2021. I believe it was February that was approved. So haven't been 3 years, but it's been too long. I agree.
Anybody else from the public?
Yes, Mark Garfalo, I'm the town clerk.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if the items that were submitted to the board are all of the items for the capital plan, because I had submitted some items, but I don't see them in the packet that was submitted. So I had submitted them via email, so I don't know. I don't see them on the list, so I hope that you will consider those if I can resubmit them. I did submit them when I was on vacation, but I know there was a period of time where there was 5 days where we didn't have any email and everything was lost on the hard drive and on the email. So I have to go back and check, but I just appreciate your consideration. My requests are small, but they have to do with making records more accessible to the public, and hopefully they will comply under ARPA, if not the general capital plan. But frankly, this meeting was called just late in the day on Tuesday, so it was just short notice, so I didn't really double check it, honestly, because we're just busy in the office. So I appreciate your consideration of the matter.
No problem. Thank you, Mark. Anybody else from the public? Second, anyone from the public? Third and last. Hearing none, thank you for your comments. We will go to the agenda. What I'm gonna do now, number 5, review, discussion, possible action regarding fiscal year 22-23 capital requests. I'll turn it over to Charlie Sampson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mark, if I could just reply to that, there might have been a problem, but if you make sure that it gets forwarded to the mayor and CC me on it. What I did, Mr. Mayor, was in the past years being on the Capitol Planning Committee, I took all of the requests for this year and put them into a spreadsheet, which is typical of what we do. And I would ask, Mr. Mayor, even though there's only the three of us here tonight, that we get a quick overview from the department heads who have scheduled time to be here tonight for each and every one of their requests. So at least members who could not make it tonight can listen to this recording or watch this recording and get information from the department heads that have joined us tonight. If that's your pleasure, sir, I would ask that we at least give each one of the department heads a chance to go down their list and just not an in-depth overview, because I'm sure that we will have to ask them back again for a more in-depth overview, but to give us just an update on their requests as we move forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sampson, for that. I will resubmit. But I just had another question. I'm sorry, just from a procedural standpoint. Well, the money from the last two fiscal years that wasn't spent in the capital planning, is that going to be expended as well, or is it just the current year?
I'm not going to answer for the mayor, but the boat has set a budget for us this year. The mayor's office has included everything that we currently have for capital expenditures, plus the extra $200,000 that we have this year. So in looking at the budget, because I went and I got a copy of the current budget, it appears we have, just in capital alone, $200,000 to expend this year. But we still have LOSIP funding. And I believe this committee, and I've asked for this committee to be able to move projects that are not capital, not LOSIP, but possibly ARPA related funds to a column on our spreadsheet to allow the mayor to look at the possible use of the ARPA funding moving forward.
Okay. No, I just, because the money from last year was not expended, so I just didn't know if that was going to be included or not. But that's obviously up to the board, or however you're going to do it. Thank you.
Yeah, we discussed that a little bit today. We're going over that. So we're going to have more information on that next meeting. All right. So if you want, we can start with, let me just go down.
Charlie, do you have that spreadsheet that we could share the screen, or is it not, were we not able to do that?
I think I could put it on the screen. Stand by. I'm not the host of the meeting.
Oh, does Mark have it then?
I don't have the spreadsheet. We weren't given those. Just the PDFs.
By. Okay.
But you could share, Mr. Sampson.
How about that? Can you see it now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Is it big enough? Yeah. I have a large screen.
It's good enough for me.
That's perfect.
Just so we could see the items and then know what we're talking about here.
Right. Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yes, go for it.
These are the requests that have come in so far. And Mark, I apologize because I don't have yours. So if you send it to me, I'll add it in here in the town city clerk. But we do have several requests from the senior center. I don't know if Christine's on tonight. We have Storm Ambulance Corps for the replacement of an ambulance, Derby Fire Department, Board of Education, and Public Works. So I noticed each and every one of those department heads were here. So if we could, Mr. Mayor, maybe just go down the line. And if that's Christine right. isn't here, yeah. maybe right to the Storm Ambulance Corps.
Sounds good. Anybody from Storms?
Hi. Yes. Brendan Canty, Assistant Chief Storm Ambulance. Chief Leonard is unable to make it this evening, so I will be in lieu of him. So our big expenditures, we're looking for $300,388 for the purchase of a new ambulance. It's going to replace our current FD-10, which is a, I believe, a 97 box, and it was remounted onto a 2014 or 2015 chassis. And it's our biggest expenditure at this point, keeping it on the road, maintenance. It was originally around $250,000 back when it was approved by the Board of Aldermen, I believe October or November of 2021. But with inflation, it is now that $302,388 with about a 12 to 14 month turnaround before we would actually receive it.
Okay. Any questions, Charlie or Gino?
No, Brendan, understood. And unfortunately, I think where what happened was with the old one, which $254,000 was approved, there was a lack of communication and a contract wasn't brought forth. So this is, in my opinion, ARPA eligible. So I am actually just going to put in the 302,388 for now. Obviously, we can't take any actions tonight because we don't have a quorum. But if we were to lease it over a 5-year period, and ambulances, in my opinion, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, technically last approximately 10 years. But we would look at a $60,000 lease per year. That will be brought forth to the board, the full board, for their recommendations on how to do this. And obviously, finance will have to ring in regards to what the city's best position would be moving forward for large purchases of these type of vehicles. I will say that I've had conversations in the past which have said that instead of financing these, we go out for a bond referendum to move these type of issues forward. So I'm going to, once again, this spreadsheet I'm doing here and keeping up with will be forwarded to the full board for our consideration, but we do understand you need an ambulance.
Yeah, beautiful. Because I know for a fact that it is ARPA eligible. Bethany Fire Department bought an ambulance with it, as well as a few other agencies, fire departments throughout the state also used ARPA funding to purchase new ambulances, paramedic fly cars, stuff like that.
Excellent. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you all for your time.
We'll go over to Commissioner Parker.
Mr. Mayor, just and for the members of the board, while Commissioner Parker is getting ready, I just was looking online. We must not have received the requests from the senior center. I don't see those as being posted because I don't think they were part of that email. So we'll make a note and we'll make sure everybody has those as well.
Right. Understood, Mark. And I think they came in late today. That's what the problem was with that.
Okay.
So everybody understands. Typically, this is a spreadsheet we use moving forward in capital, and I listed each and every agency from the city of Derby that typically asks for capital funding or LOSIP or whatever we have to move forward. So some are missing, and I'm hoping that over the next couple of days, we get more information from those departments, and have asked the mayor's office to at least reach out. And that's why I believe the senior center just came in late today. Commissioner Parker.
Yes, sir.
I will tell you up front, I got all of your requests. I noticed that some of the requests, and I don't want to shortchange you, did come in requesting funding that was, you had mentioned that it was capable of being put off for a couple of years or an assessment or something. So I kind of just listed under your, if I can make this thing go away, if I kind of just listed under yours the actual ones that you had put forward that were immediate.
Okay. I apologize, but I'm having a hard time reading your screen on my computer.
Oh, stand by. So, how about that?
Much better.
Oh, cow. Off of my glasses.
Now I can read the third line from the bottom. Okay.
Well, I'm going to blow my eyes out with my glasses.
So Charlie, could you go to the right? Is that where you show the years out?
I can, yes.
So, okay. So those represent years, each of those columns?
Yeah, yes. So that's going to be 2022. And let me do this real quick. And only freeze the top one. I can get rid of this one. Delete. All right. So if I go to the right.
Yeah.
You will see under the FD, this is the first one, $850,000 for Edge 16, you estimate is $850,000 to replace.
Correct.
Which if we go to a 10-year lease, this would run us to 2031, 2032. And I just put that in there as a lease, but that doesn't mean we're going to lease the equipment. That just means that under the current practice of the city of Derby, which once again, I've been told is probably not the best way to do it, that this is how we have been doing it. So it's $85,000 a year for the next 10 years to make that $850,000. Obviously, there is financing involved with it. So it's a little bit more than $85,000 per year. But
I think it's a good start, Charlie, at least for information, okay. You know. And,
right.
I really like to give my little spiel on at least the apparatus. I can go a little light on the other things. But I think really need to drive a couple points home here, and it's going to sound very similar to what I said 3 years ago, but in a worsening scenario, 3 years ago we were operating with five Class A pumpers in the city of Derby. We're currently operating with four. Because the oldest one, this engine 16 that you see here is out of service, and it was permanently out of service due to a lot of reasons, none of which was neglect or misuse. The plan that we put forward 3 years ago, and I still promote today, is to buy these vehicles together and put whatever type of finance plan we need to make it work, because we're going to be eliminating one of the pieces, I'm sorry, two pieces out of the fleet of the city of Derby by buying these two vehicles. We're eliminating two other vehicles permanently. And if we can figure out a way to pay these vehicles off, both of these combined, in the next, say, 8 years to 9 years, that will give the city, I know it's a foresight is a bad word in the city of Derby, but the Bagasso hook and ladder, aerial ladder is due for, or penciled for a replacement in the year 2035. That truck, if we were to buy that truck today, it's about $2 million. So I can only imagine what it's going to be in 2035. So the quicker we can get past these trucks and get them paid, the better for not only the fire department, for getting the benefit of the use for the citizens of Derby, but also for the city of Derby and the citizens of the city of the Derby in that time to have a reasonable means to buy a ladder truck. And you know, again, this is not the time and our place, but I'm going to say it real quick. Don't think that the city of Derby is going to get away without a ladder truck, because with all the new developments coming into town, guess what, folks? That's what you need. We run one now, and we run it with Ansonia. We're covering Ansonia right now. So, I'm getting off the base of this particular plan, but I want to drive it home that we made this plan with down the line in thought. So Charlie, I respect you with the 10-year lease, and that's historically the way it's always been done. But I think we got to do it another way. Shelton goes out to bond for their trucks. I'm just putting it out there.
And Commissioner, I would wholeheartedly agree with you. And I think we should look at a 10-year bond, to be honest with you, because we're looking at almost $2.1 million at the end of 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think that, even if we could get a 10-year bond, if you look at it, that would place us in a good place when the ladder truck comes due at the end of 32 with the bond being paid off. So that is probably one of the things, and based upon conversations with the finance department prior, that these large ticket items, instead of leasing them and paying those costs, we should probably look at a bond for them. So
I'd like to, Charlie, I'd like to see the, once we get past the stage, but I'd like to see what that looks like, because I know with even construction equipment, this day and age, you spend $1 million real quick, even for small businesses that are my size. So bonding is very, it's often used. Leases are no longer in my industry. So I'd like to see what that looks like and what the rates and how finance wants to put that together. But I think that might be a good option here.
Absolutely. And I agree with you, Gino. And like I said, Agata, who I spoke to in depth about these type of things, who, used to run this, she highly recommended that we look at possibly bonding these type of purchases. It would be a better put us in a better fiscal position moving forward. So I will definitely bring that forward as a bonding option.
I appreciate that very much, and I'll let that go for the apparatus. Do you want me to go more on the apparatus, or I could go for probably 2 hours on it? But we've got other projects.
Gear, just a question. I'm sorry, Charlie, but that Squad 11, what kind of truck is that? Or
so, Gino,
what does that do?
Okay, so that truck would replace the Rescue 18, which is currently run by Stormy Ambulance Corps.
Yep. Okay.
And our engine 11. So it's a dual purpose. It's a rescue engine.
Right. So that's going to be Squad 11 will come into service, and then that's where 18 and 11 will get turned
right.
In.
You're going to clean out two bays and fill one bay back.
Gotcha. Okay. That's good for me.
Okay. Commissioner, if I could, because I really don't want to skip, but support vehicle, I get it. 150,000.
Yeah.
Something that could probably be included into a bond package also. I would probably defer to the experts in financing on how you wanted to do that. My question is, and obviously being a past chief of the department, the next item you asked for, turnout gear. Now I read your submission, and you were technically putting turnout gear and portables in the same and asking for 50,000. So I broke this out and kind of estimated that if the fire department continually got $40,000 per year for turnout gear, that is approximately 10 sets of gear a year, approximately.
Yep.
Based upon what the cost is. So I put turnout gear in here for $40,000. And my recommendation actually will be, and obviously, I don't carry a lot of clout, but I think turnout gear for you, Commissioner, should be in your budget at a yearly set fee. I think that that's how this city should move forward, knowing that, you know, obviously when I was the chief and we got the $440,000 and we bought 80 sets of turnout gear, 100 sets of turnout gear, you know, we knew that this large expense was coming forward 10 years from now. I get the life of the turnout gear. I get, you know, based upon the usage, damage to the turnout gear. Would $40,000 in this year's capital cover what you need to do in order for the administration to move forward in the following years to actually move this line item to your budget and make it a yearly item?
Make it a hard cost over in the budget.
In fact, I had initially included it in my request in the operational budget request this year. And after speaking with the mayor and the mayor's assistant, we thought, you know, that's where it wound up in the Capitol. But I think it would be a wise thing to do. You know, as long as you know it's there every year, you can really manage it. And the problem now, we're not managing, we're just reacting.
Understood.
You know, so when you know we're coming to a point where a good portion of our gear is coming up on a 10-year mandatory retirement, and that's not by the city of Derby, that's by NFPA and OSHA.
Well, that's the problem with that too. When you buy X amount of sets or 100 sets, 80 sets, like you did 10 years ago. Now, 10 years from that, you're buying 80 to 100 sets. But if you rotate these things out every year and you get whatever the number is, 10 sets, now we're not spending $400,000 on gear. You know what I mean? This is a thing that comes due every 10 years. So
in my previous life as the public works director, there was a very wise person in the city of Derby that ran the finance office, and her name was Joan Williamson. And she used to help me immensely. And one of the things she taught me was that for if you could try to keep things consistent from year to year, you're in a much better position for the budget. And so what my mindset was with this and putting these items together, Charlie. What do we replace often? We replace gear, we replace our radios because they either become obsolete or they become damaged. And our SCBA for the same purposes. So, you know, if we had some rolling an account, we have some catch up to do, you know, in the next couple of years. But if we could get to a point where we can keep up on everything, you know, we would probably have one account and maintain, keep up with all those three.
Understood. And I'm going to assume that SCBA would also fall under that, Commissioner.
SCBA certainly does. Yes.
All right. So,
I interject for 1 second?
Yes, sure. Chief.
Chief. Okay. So I wholeheartedly agree, Commissioner Parker and Chief Sampson. We've talked about that. Just a reminder, the last order of the big order of gear comes up on January 10th of 2024. That's another 50 sets. So if we were to go forward with the plan of $40,000 a year rolling out, we will be shorted a lot of gear at the beginning of 2024. So we'd have to make one more purchase. We'd have to make one more large purchase, and then from there out start buying the 10 sets a year. Otherwise we'll be off.
So we fall short because it's 23, 24 for 50 sets, Dave. That's when they're due.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So Chief, if I could just ask you, if we could restructure our budget to accommodate, you know, 10 sets of gear each year. And then in those years that you're talking about where we would have to come up with an extra 20 sets, move that to those 20 sets, that 10,000 or whatever it is, move that amount to a capital expenditure, would that not help you?
That would do it.
Yeah, so we have to factor in that if it's the 20 sets that are
I muted myself with the baby crying in the background. Our last purchase of gear was about 5 years ago. And we were actually buying 50 sets of gear every 5 years. So the set from 2014 is the ones that are coming up in January of 2024. And then in summertime of 20, I believe it's 28 or 29. So we would have plenty of time to replace that gear by buying 10 sets a year. It's just the sets that are up.
So we might have to next year. We might have to up the capital 40,000 a little bit so that we could go in the annual budget. You know what I mean? So that we could play catch up with that next.
We just can't miss that. We just can't miss that one cycle.
23, 24, yeah. Right, Dave? Okay.
Yeah. Because we know that OSHA's already on us for that because we had a gear complaint last year and they came down. So well aware of the fact that we expiration date is.
I would highly recommend that. I do this with my computers at work. They have a 5-year lifespan. So every 5 years, I'm replacing X number and I try to equal it out. I would highly recommend, and I get it over 5 years, things may change, but we all might be sitting in the same seat. I would recommend in future budgets going forward that we make this a line item for you in the budget.
If I recall, Charlie, we've spoken about that before. We all agree on that. I think that's a solid move.
And we start with 10 sets every year. But to your concern, Chief, I would say that, you know, those years that we need to play catch up a little bit, that extra sets come before the capital and we work them in. And you know, I'm probably partly to blame for this 20 years ago. When I was the chief or 15 years ago when I was the chief and we got that $440,000 grant from the federal government and we replaced the 100 sets right away, that we knew down the road that this was going to be an issue. And I would be I'm going to be a proponent for moving forward. This is what we try to do, but I understand where we're at, where we're trying to move forward to. I'm just going to, my final question, Commissioner, is between turnout gear and the next line item, SCBA, will 40,000 do for this year alone?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Gino?
I'm good with that. I think the turnout gear, the SCBA, all these things that come up, big ticket items like that, that have specific dates for turnover, we should put those in a budget. So it's like a maintenance item that gets replaced every 5 years or every X amount of years. I mean, so we're not spending the $440,000 every 10 years or whatever it comes out to be, you know?
Yeah. And I think that makes total sense to me.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with that.
We'll have to.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're doing it right. We have to order around 50 sets of turnout gear. And have it here by January of 2024.
Yeah, so you have this year and you have next year.
Okay. So I just, you know what I'm saying? I don't, because that means that as of budget time next year, we'll be in a rush to get the equipment.
Well, you'll have money too in next year's budget as
right.
well.
So if you make this a line item, Chief, right. you'll be able to cover, I'm going to just say 10 sets because it's like $4,000 a set from what I remember. Correct. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But
it's a little bit more, but yeah.
yeah, these days. But moving forward, at least if we put that in there and it's a consistent number every year, we will have to play catch up. So the extra, let's say 10 sets that we're going to need by 2024, those 10 sets come before the capital.
Okay.
And we work it out that way.
Yeah, because if we put, you know, enough money to buy 10 sets this year and 10 sets next year, we're still about 20 to 30 sets short for that 2024 mark.
No, my goal would be to purchase 10 out of capital this year.
And 10 out of your budget.
10 out of the budget next year, and then the extra, the extra number of sets that we have to buy comes before capital until we can play catch up to the point where it's just a line item every year.
Okay. Like I said, I just wanted to make sure that we got the numbers right.
Understood.
Thank you.
Chief Glode, you chiming in there, Chief Glode?
After a few minutes, Irina announced that the message was.
Right. Somebody's got their mic on.
There you go.
That was Chief Glode. He's good. So Commissioner, if you could, Gary, the radio system, I think I read it was 225. Could you just give us a quick brief on what that was?
Yeah. So that is the broadcast and the receive system for the fire departments. What we talked about a few minutes ago, the portable radios is entirely different. That's what the members use on their person. This is the base station and the repeater system that we transmit to and from dispatch and between each other. All the signals go through this system. It encompasses three sites. One at the fire alarm headquarters, the former fire alarm headquarters on Cottage Street. In Pitney Bowes in Shelton and the Hotchkiss Hose on the hilltop. So the system is old. There's components of the system that are decades old and obsolete. If anybody has a fire radio during any rainstorm event, can hear the problem or what part of the problem. It's the moisture. Runs havoc with the system. So we're looking to upgrade and further everything is transmitted via from the dispatched to the radio system via phone lines. We're looking to upgrade that to a much more modern system, a fiber optic transmit system. That's a quote we have that's about 7 or 8 months old, Charlie. And that the quote is actually for around $200,000. The $25,000 is to us do an assessment on the system and to design the correct system for us.
Well, I can honestly tell you, Commissioner, in dealing with Motorola, because I just bought $6.4 million worth of radios, they just went up 30%.
Yeah, so, and I'm sure this number is low, I'm sure.
And I believe, sir, I shorted you a column. So radio system portables, if we could just jump back to that real quick, what would be a comfortable amount this year to replace portables that are aged and not working?
I would go with $40,000.
Understood. So if I put $250,000 for the total radio system, which is actually the backbone of the radio system, not portables and radios, you'd correct. Feel comfortable with that?
Yes. For now, yes.
Okay. All right. The other items that you had listed are pretty much work that can be done at each one of the fire stations. I did not, and I saw your submission, and I'm going to apologize. It doesn't show up here because I kind of took the stuff that was almost immediately needed based upon what you submitted. So generator. East End generator and Poggy's generator, I kind of didn't put in for this year because you had indicated that it might be a year out that would be capable of being taken care of. So I only listed what you pretty much put in for immediately, which, Gino, a lot of this stuff actually can, because it's infrastructure, can fall under LOSIP funding instead of capital funding that we pay.
Yep.
Now, LOSIP projects are reimbursed by the state of Connecticut once we put in for them. I haven't worked out exactly what the reimbursement is. I believe it's 100% of the project, but as this committee moves forward, we can try to move it into that. The only thing with LOSIP is the city has to come up with the money ahead of time
and then we can
ask for the reimbursement. So we just have to look at what is available in the LOSIP account for us to complete these projects and then put it from the reimbursement.
And Charlie, I could tell you that the project must be approved by the state prior to initiation.
Correct. Correct. But because they are infrastructure,
they're eligible.
They are eligible. We would just have to submit the paperwork to the state ahead of time, them to tell us, go ahead, we expend the funds, and then we ask for the 100% reimbursement.
Correct.
So if you'd like to, Commissioner, just briefly hit on each one of these and why you've asked for it, that would be great to educate those of us here.
Sure. The goal right up the you see the generator there at the Hotchkiss. Currently, as I just stated a few minutes ago, there's a radio system at the Hotchkiss hose, part of our base unit system. There's also units, several repeaters there that service other communities as well. And that's because of the high geographic location of the building there. The generator at the Hotchkiss went out of service before I became commissioner, and it's in desperate need of a replacement. I will say that we have the city of Derby has, I had Alderman have not accepted it officially yet, but the Griffin Hospital has donated it. The old generator from the Derby nursing home to the fire department. It's a wonderful generator, but it's way too much for what our needs are. So my thought is to leverage that. Obviously, go through the alderman to first accept it, and then allow ask for disposal rights to it. Sell it or trade it in on a new generator. And the thing has, I don't want to say tens of thousands, but
it has many thousands
worth of value.
Yeah. It has good trade in value.
So we want to get that generator back and up and running. Obviously, the sooner the better. The boiler at the Hotchkiss is I don't know that it's the original one, but it's the second one. If it wasn't, it's not the original one. It needs to be replaced. The storm's restroom, again, that one is in the basement area. It's been out of service since, again, before I was commissioner. Up until this point, I've been each year since 2019, I've been trying to squirrel away a little money to get that done. And something else, it's always something else. So I'd like to just get it done. And the members deserve to have a restroom in their basement. The roof at the East End, again, that Charlie, I mean, when you get into the East End, not that I want to short them short, but I don't know that it's in that bad a shape. So some of these we need to look at. We might be able to put out a year or two anyways. Same thing with the Bagassets boiler, I believe is the original boiler, and that's, it's running, but it needs to be replaced. The fire alarm headquarters is of all of that, of these, in my mind, is the most important, second behind the generator at the Hotchkiss possibly. At the fire alarm headquarters building is housed not only our radio system for the fire department, but also the police department base station and also the public works base station. There's, you can see the numbers. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of radio equipment sitting in there, and the roof leaks like a sieve every rainstorm. We have a gentleman that goes up there, a contractor goes up there. After today's storm, he'll be up there again after every storm to try to just keep putting their thumb in the holes. It's ridiculous. So we need to get the building refurbished. if it wasn't if the building wasn't owned by the city of Derby, it would have been on the blight list 5 years ago. We just need to get it, you know, cleaned up to physical integrity and aesthetically pleasing, and get the roof fixed.
And that building is protecting significant amount of money of infrastructure. And it's leaking like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And that's been for 5 years plus, Care?
No, more than that. Yeah. Plus.
Okay.
So that's my spiel on the buildings.
Well, we definitely appreciate your time, Commissioner. Thanks for coming out tonight. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a quorum per se, so we can't start moving these things around. But your the other members hopefully will see this recording, catch themselves up to speed, and we can move forward. I would highly recommend that, or I will just say that more than likely this will take at least one more meeting with you, probably either in person or on a Zoom, to go over these, to get the top list of things that are mandatory to get done.
Sure. I appreciate that. If I could, I'm going to try to sneak something in under the front door here. I neglected to include in my package, and in preparing for tonight's meeting, I found this in my old paperwork. But we received some information during the height of COVID for extractor washing machines. Extractor washing machines are specialized units that are utilized to wash the tourniquet gear of firefighters. These are eligible for ARP funding. They cost in the neighborhood of $10,000 a piece plus some installation, so probably in the neighborhood of $12,000. We have one in the city of Derby. It's housed at the Storm Engine Company. I would like to buy three more of these to put in one in each of the other firehouses. So I'll make this official, Charlie, and I understand if it can't happen this year, it's my fault, but let's see what we can try to do it.
I have it listed here. So instead of four, you would need three, sir?
Three, yes.
I am noting $36,000.
And
Alderman Sampson, I believe that was approved by the board a year or so ago.
We bought one. That was a single. I think that was the purchase of the single one. And I was going to come back, Mark, with more information for the other three. That's what this is.
Well, but the more than one was approved at that time. I'll have to go back and look at the minutes.
Oh, maybe. If in your spare time, if you could look that up, that'd be great.
I'll get right on it, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mark. Spare time.
What about the chief's vehicles? We're not talking about those. That's
I'll work with the finance director on that.
Okay.
I didn't. All right. Listen. And once again, I'm remiss at that. I didn't. One of the line items I missed. And I'm going to put it right under here for support vehicles.
And if I could just give you 2 minutes off of this.
If you could just give me a total cost, you think this year?
$52,000 a piece.
52 times three?
Yeah. Well, we'll buy one at a time over 3 years.
So I'll put in 52 for this year. 2020, so this would be 52, this would be 104, this would be 156, correct me if my math's not good, so that would be over 3 years.
Yep. I mean, I like to get them all one shot, but then you got to replace them all in one shot, so if you spread them out, you got to buy it, you can replace.
Which is what we're kind of probably, and I would imagine any taxpayer is kind of hoping that you do that spreading out, but yeah. It is in there and it is noted for 52,000 this year.
Great. Thank you. There's a need. These, the chiefs, they run 24/7. They're using their own vehicles. They're going up on a Route 8. A couple of them don't even have a red light or a siren, and it's just, it's dangerous that they don't, because they're trying to respond to an emergency incident and with no identification. And it's a matter, it's a miracle there hasn't been a road rage incident against them up till now. So at least if they're in an identified vehicle, they got a shot at getting to where they need to be and hopefully do some good for somebody.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Is that it, Commissioner?
I'm all done. Thank you.
You're the man. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
Roger that.
Board of
Education. Nashville.
Yeah. I'd rather be in Grand Cayman. So I canceled my trip. So everybody knows I canceled my trip to Grand Cayman tomorrow because of a tropical depression that's supposed to end up flooding us out or becoming a hurricane and coming over the island over the next weekend, which I should be there. And I decided we're going to Nashville. So I had to ask Mr. Parker for some tips on going to a country western type place, which I've never been to, nor do I listen to the music. And I have to go to his house later on to pick up a couple belt buckles and some cowboy boots.
You'll fit right in, Charlie.
That's what I'm talking about. Me and Snoop Dogg.
There you go.
Mr. Conway, I see that you are here, and I appreciate you standing by patiently.
Good evening, sir.
And I believe, unlike the fire department, sir, I have listed everything that you've asked for.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you just would like to tonight, myself and Gino and the mayor here, and hopefully the rest of the board gets to see this, sir. Just a brief overview of what you're asking for and why you're asking for it. And I did the unthinkable of putting in a reimbursement column for the school because you guys were nice enough to send that to me. So if you'd like to just go over those, sir, we'd appreciate it.
And in reflecting on the LOSA funds, it looks like the item you have on top there, the badge reader system, would be eligible for LOSA reimbursement as well, which would be 100% as opposed to the 7607 that is through DAS. So there's a couple things going on with our request in terms of how we can go about also parlaying that the city money with reimbursement from DAS for certain projects, and or those that might be that are not eligible for reimbursement would possibly be eligible under ARPA funds. Starting with the badge reader system, it would be eligible for the DAS reimbursement at 76.07% and or through the LOSA, which would be at 100%. So no cost to the city if we put it through the LOSA. Replacing the doors is the next items down. And to not get into it in depth, these are doors that do need to be replaced. They are exterior doors, as was listed in our spreadsheet. Another item that is reimbursable through DAS. Now, my recent conversations with DAS in preparation for this over the past 3 weeks is they have money now for this reimbursement. We just need the 24.3% from the city so that we can apply for the grant reimbursement through DAS to replace all exterior doors. For those that have been identified for the exterior doors for replacement, I should say. Next down is the HVAC system for Bradley and for the high school. If the committee may recall or not, but through the most recent JCI project, we were able to replace the HVAC system at Irving. At the time, they did not move forward with the replacement of Bradley and high school, though it was recommended by our JCI consultant for return on investment. The high school was identified as one of the largest returns on investment. That particular project, if included in a what they call an energy reimbursement, energy finance program, You can, you're basically similar to bonding, you're putting it out over 20 years as we did the JCI project. And then the payment to that is through your savings on your utilities moving forward. The greatest need for us is, if you recall it, at the high school last year, we couldn't open up for the first 4 days due to an extensive mold issue that cost thousands of dollars to remediate on top of opening 4 days late. And at the end of the remediation, you're still stuck with the same system that could not prevent that mold from coming back in the future. It's just a very old, antiquated system. That system also, and this is brand new this year, we are attending webinars on September 30th, all school districts. But the state is using part of their ARPA funds to fund reimbursement to districts for replacement of your HVAC systems. And they have criteria. One, that the school that we're looking at has not had recent replacement or updates to their system in past number of years. Ours has not since the buildings were built. They'll be looking at distressed municipalities as well as criteria. They will be looking for, in order to be eligible for application for reimbursement, they'll be looking at a commitment from the city in terms of the other dollars. So again, the 24% approximately match, they'll cover the 76.07%. So it brings the 5 million project down to 2 million, the 9 down to approximately 2 million plus. So the cost to the city, again, is a fraction of what it otherwise would cost if we don't apply for the reimbursement. But we will need the approval of the match funding to the project. But this is something that has never been offered before in terms of the reimbursement for the state for replacement of your HVAC system. So if that's something there's multiple pathways to try and do this, as you know. You've already discussed bonding as an option for our portion of it.
Doc, it's Gino. I have a couple of questions. During COVID, I remember reading on a couple other different meetings that I had in topics also. Wasn't there money available from either the state or federal government to upgrade the HVA systems and whatnot through the COVID money?
It's not through the COVID money. They were establishing systems at the federal level and the state level to be able to give those reimbursements referring to. It okay. just became available. So it had to go through the legislature last session. So 100%, it's probably where you heard a lot of it being talked about. So it got debated in the legislature. It passed for a total of $150 million total for all school districts. Part of that $150 is coming from ARPA funds. Other parts of that 150 are coming through bond funds from the state. So through the bond commission.
Okay. So it's just getting to us now to be implemented. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not guaranteed at this point because $150 million, when you think of the cost of an HVAC system, even for a small high school, $150 million won't go that far across the state for districts in need. But we at least want to prepare ourselves to be able to apply, and that time is now. So the application process was just sent to us last week. There's webinars beginning on September 30th. I've read through all the material as opposed to waiting for the webinars to prepare for this, but we'll want to get our applications in the hopper as soon as possible. And it's just a great opportunity to take care of our own infrastructure. Because it is a complete replacement of the systems. We already have quotes from two different companies who have gone through both schools and presented the information to our subcommittee of the board, our plants and facilities committee. Both of them also work And one of them is the same is JCI, one of the two companies, and they both operate under the energy finance program. The problem with the reimbursement is if you take the state reimbursement, you're not eligible for the to use the energy finance program. They don't allow both. So it's an either or. So we couldn't use those funds to pay for our portion of the cost. It would either be use that program, which is going to allow you to pay the whole dollar amount out, the $14 million out over 20 years, or take advantage of the offer for the 76% reimbursement that Derby will receive, which is a high percentage compared to many districts across the state. The next item's down, if you could, wouldn't mind scrolling down, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about that. The next item's down. If you want to add to the column E, Mr. Chairman, the what the total cost would probably be to the city once you 140 minus 106, for example. So column C minus column D will give you the balance, which we would be our responsibility should we be successful in getting our reimbursement. So the brush removal is also part of our security plan, just as an FYI. 48 district maintenance van. We had put this, was approved in the last capital plan to be leased. As you know, those vehicles approved in that plan for several departments were never purchased or leased. So that's still in our plan. The next two items are paving of parking lots that are, these are combination city/school lots. So these two parking lots, one behind Bradley School, which serves the recreation fields behind Bradley, as well as parking during the day for Bradley staff. And the second one is the parking lot behind the high school, which serves, again, the city fields behind the high school, as well as parking for the high school and our loading dock area as well. Those are those two projects. Plumbing repairs throughout the district. Last year, I can get the total of you, but we had several expenses for upgrades to just old cast iron plumbing. And that will continue to happen year over year until we make these plumbing repairs more permanent. The next item.
Did we lose him?
Yeah, he froze. Unfortunately, Superintendent, you're frozen. He says standby.
Charlie, what's the Sally Port entry at Bradley? Or what does that mean?
So it's actually a the walkway that goes from the parking lot into the entrance to the school, which kind of funnels people that way. Instead of just allowing, if you look at the middle school, the high school, they have a large front entrance.
Yeah.
And it would kind of funnel people, which in school security.
Oh, gotcha.
It creates a choke point and makes it easier for you to contain or move people through.
Mr. Chair.
Well, technically not the chair. That's the mayor.
That's okay.
True.
I just did the research on the regarding those washer extractors on at your meeting of just last October 14th, 2021.
Okay.
Item number 93. Mr. Hyder moved to approve request of Derby Fire Department to purchase three washer extractors for the Hotchkiss Hose, East End Hose, and Pagasset Hook and Ladder in the amount of $25,775 with CLRF funds, state COVID funding. Mr. Sull seconded.
And there was, and the motion carried unanimously.
So that was the same meeting, Mark, as the ambulance then, October 14th, if I remember correctly.
I think the ambulance was November, but I could check that.
It was around.
And actually the next item was Troop 3, an Eagle project to help clean up the fire alarm headquarters. Let me see if that was on there.
Mark, can you see if the superintendent says he's in the waiting room?
There you go. He's on his way in.
Excellent. Superintendent Conway, thanks for joining us tonight.
Glad to see you're here.
I apologize for that. So the next two items are the, or three, four items are fencing for our schools and three Sally ports. Again, security related. Now, these are security related items that are not eligible for state reimbursement. The state reimburses you for security items from your doors into the building, as opposed to anything outside the building. So these are not eligible for reimbursement, though critical to our security plan, but not eligible for reimbursement. They would be eligible for ARPA funds to be used, just as an FYI, for the committee, should that be something that you'd like to pursue. But they are not reimbursable through other programs with the state.
So just real quick before we get off it, all of these security items, which I'm 110% behind, you know, the badge reader system obviously is one, the fencing, the cutting of the brush removal, is any of this eligible under SVPP?
And your doors as well. So all those doors are part of that security plan.
Okay.
Yep. Now, when you say, are you talking about the security grant funds?
Yes. Yeah. The security.
So they're on round five of that. We have received several $100,000 through the first three rounds. These last two rounds have gone to schools who have not received any funds in the first three rounds. Our last round that we submitted, we did receive some funding for radios, and those were purchased. We're waiting for those to be shipped now, but they've been purchased with that funding. So we had some cameras and some radios that was purchased with that. There is no security grant open right now for application, but in speaking with DAS directly, the funds that DAS has outside of that, our doors would meet eligibility for reimbursement for that funding.
So, and I just for edification of the people, you know, Gino, if we get grant funding for let's just say the doors at Bradley School, we cannot submit that to the state for the 76% because you can't use grant funding to offset the cost of what we would get reimbursed from the state. Am I correct?
So we could not use, for example, today, statutorily today only, ARPA funds, for example, to offset the cost. If I apply for the 76% reimbursement, we have to find some other means of city funds, whether it's bonding or otherwise, to pay our percent, our 24% match. You
okay? Yeah, the city's always responsible for that 24. We can't use ARPA or a grant or some other means to pay for that balance, right? That's what you're saying.
You can't use. I know today statutorily you can't use ARPA. I will share under 10-283D. There is precedent for federal funds to be used. Back in 2003. That statute actually passed allowing a single school district in the state to use federal funds to offset the state reimbursement funds that they received. So it's not unheard of. There is precedent back in 2003 that allowed for it. but it would mean working with our local delegation and the leadership downtown for that to happen. Right now, if you read the regulations for ARPA, it's very clear in there that they cannot be used as our portion if we're getting reimbursement through the state through DAS for the projects. And that's for any project. So any project you're getting reimbursement for through DAS, you can't use your ARPA funds for your portion of it.
And Dr. Conway, thank you for that. I would just ask, do you mind if I just hide? Obviously, each one of these items that I'm looking at now go towards school security, which is obviously dear to my heart in my profession. And things that I work on every day. Would you mind if I just highlight these to, and am I correct in highlighting the ones that I have highlighted to say that, you know, this goes towards school security?
That is correct. And the last one is the 3M window film.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And that would be reimbursable, most likely be reimbursable at the 76.07% as well.
Excellent. Tree removal, I believe in your submission on tree removal, it's just trees that are hazardous and may cause larger issues down the road. It's not technically the fence line tree removal.
That is correct.
Thank you. Gino, any questions for the superintendent?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you guys very much. And any questions you have that you might think of afterwards, please feel free to reach out and give me a call directly.
And once again, I'll apologize the same way I did to the commissioner because we don't have a full board here tonight to actually start moving things around. But we appreciate your time. And I would highly expect that we'll probably have to call you in one more time to go over these items. But thank you for your time tonight.
Not a problem. Thank you guys for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Ed Armino, I saw you on here. Are you still here?
Yes, sir. Still here.
Look at that. Ed Armino. Don't like the camera, Ed? If you need a camera, I could probably lend you one.
Don't have one. Don't need one. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to apologize ahead of time too, Commissioner, that I kind of took the liberty at putting in a couple of items that were also have been brought up in prior meetings, the gas pumps and the parking garage refurb. I've gotten more information through the mayor's office in regards to both of them, but I think that we should probably address it here at this committee. And if it is ARPA fund eligible that, you know, through this committee, we look at that and move it forward. So I just listed them, but I didn't put any costs next to them. If you don't mind, sir, I know that you did put in for one truck to replace a truck this year. Do you mind talking about the gas pumps in the parking garage?
The gas pumps, I do have some information on the parking garage. I was really not involved in that too much, so I really
understood.
Would hesitate in, you know, voicing any estimates on that.
I'm, if you give me 1 second, I'm actually going to throw that under City Hall.
And I think Mr. DiCenzo was more involved in that than I was.
Understood. So just in obviously, because tonight's just a preliminary night, you know, we understand that what I've put into these columns as far as cost aren't probably 110%, that they're probably 90% accurate. I would really, and I'm sure you would really like to see us instead of going to Shelton, possibly putting our own gas pumps in, could you just give me an idea of the approximate cost for that?
Last year, it was about a year ago, I did contact the company that contracts with the same gas pump that was presently being used in Ansonia. United Concrete in Wallingford is the state vendor. And we received a price quote of, it was about $185,000 for the for the pump to be installed in Derby. That's a freestanding above ground, tanks above ground unit. It's simply purchased and placed on a concrete slab. We supply the electricity. Everything else is included on the unit. We would need to establish where we want to put it. Speaking with the fire marshal last year, where the pump was previously at Public Works is not going to be acceptable for today's fire code. So we would have to find either a place on the property at Public Works or another piece of city property somewhere. But as I said, that was about a year ago. I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but it was it was about $185,000.
Ed, did that include like a a key card or a pin pad that you put that, the truck number in and the mileage, or how do you disperse that?
That price, the price included a key fob reader with the computer hardware. The software was purchased separately, depending how elaborate you wanted to get on what information you wanted to record at every fill up. You could go with the operator, you can go with mileage or no mileage, a lot of different things. They had several options. And again, I don't have a price on that, but it wasn't terribly expensive.
Okay.
The only cost we would have other than that would be the cost of the concrete slab that we could have that we would have installed.
So if I bump this up to like 195, would that be I once again, I'm not holding you to the number, but this is kind of near and dear to my heart that we replace the pumps that we don't have. The administration, I just want them to get an overview once this goes back of what we are looking at potentially. So I'm not going to say it is going to happen, but I'm saying that we should document it and at least move it forward for the administration.
Ed, right. Just one question. That was one diesel tank and one gasoline tank.
One diesel, one gasoline. Okay. Again, I don't have it in front of me.
No, that's okay. But at least we know it was, both fuels that are needed, and at least there was some type of.
It was 5,000 gallons apiece, I believe.
Okay.
One diesel, one gasoline.
Charlie, you're going to have to, install electricity, bollards, some slabs, and then probably some hardware and some software. So maybe another 25%.
I'm just going to call you, Gino, and tell you to get it done.
I would say probably around 225, 230. Yeah, I would a budget number for now, plus the increase of inflation. If it's over a year old, I would say it's probably at least 25% more. Guesstimate right now.
225, Charlie, I think we would be okay.
There you go. Okay. Perfect.
Well, I'm going to put in 230 just for now. And once again, these are just budgetary numbers that kind of go into it just so everybody knows what we're looking at.
25%, Charlie, was 231, 250. So right on the button. Perfect.
Okay. And like I said, I'm going to call you, Gino. You're going to have to get your waiver from the board and go over there and do some work.
Yep, we'll get it.
So Commissioner, if you wouldn't mind, the 2022 F-Series vehicle you're looking for?
We're trying to replace or hopefully going to replace a 1989 rack body vehicle, equipped with a hydraulic lift gate. The vehicle's, as I said, 1989, no longer in service due to its condition. It's unsafe to use. It's the only one we have. We use it primarily to move equipment, snow blowers, and other equipment, things that we can't move in a dump truck. The vehicle is used often by other departments. The PD uses it occasionally. Another primary use for it is voting machines. At election time, we move the voting machines from City Hall to the schools. And as I said, the vehicle is no longer in use, so we're without one. The price I included was a May of 22 estimate from Bob Thomas Ford at, I believe, $64,000. The problem is Ford is not taking orders until mid-October, so I can't get an actual price until they can actually put the order in. So I'm saying maybe a 10% increase from that. So if I'm about $70,000, I think.
So Ed, does the city get reimbursement, or do we have to purchase a Ford if Ford isn't taking orders?
Well,
or,
no.
Or is that just common practice? Or,
well, I mean, we've had Ford right along. We've been happy with the product. The mechanic is happy with the product. I'd like to keep them all the same. He's
we don't have any Chevy or GMC or any.
We had one GMC pickup truck from years ago, but
okay.
Our last purchases were Fords. When I first started, we bought two Mason dumps, a pickup, and one Freightliner. But those were.
Oh, it was just a question. I didn't know if we had a contract or to stay with somebody. So, okay.
We do not.
Fair enough.
So Ed, just so you know, I would probably relay this to the finance folks. And it seems like a short-term lease for this type of vehicle is what we've typically been doing all along, whether or not that's financially sound for the city. But we'll look at one way or another to try to get that replaced.
Okay.
And we'll be able to tell you further.
As soon as they start taking orders, would it be acceptable to at least get a get another an updated price on it? And whenever they're ready to decide how they want to pay for it,
understood.
I'll have that estimate ready.
Thank you. Thank you for your time tonight.
Is that all you got, Ed?
That's all I have for now. Yes, at some point in the future. Start discussing larger trucks, but that's I think for another night.
After my term, right? Mr. Garfalo, obviously Town City Clerk's next, and you did submit some stuff that I didn't get a hold of, and I apologize for not putting it on the sheet. But if you don't mind, because you are stuck with us for the night, can I skip to the police department real quick? Because I saw the police chief on here.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I appreciate it, sir. Chief Todd, you still here?
I am. Thank you.
Chief, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, sir. And I once again will apologize to you like I did the rest. And unfortunately, we don't have a quorum, but we'd like to overhear your request, which the only request I got out of the PD was two police vehicles. And I will say before you start, just for edification, Gino, we did not purchase two vehicles last year, which technically was approved in what came before the Board of Aldermen, all the women. And because I've been in the press in a while, if you interrupt this cycle, it is really bad. But Chief, why do you need two vehicles?
Well, we have replaced two vehicles per year for probably the past 24 years. And as you mentioned last year, no vehicle replacements were funded, putting us behind the eight ball. So really, this request should be for four, but we'll keep it at two. They are 2023 Ford Police Interceptor SUVs, both marked vehicles, replacing the two oldest vehicles in our fleet. Which I don't have the exact years, but I believe it's a 2015 and a 2016 that they're replacing with 100,000 miles approximately on each one of them. Those vehicles normally would have been replaced last year. So like I said, we're behind. The biggest problem I have, similar to what Ed mentioned, is the availability of vehicles through Ford. We have two vehicles that are reserved for us that are coming into our vendor, MHQ, in mid-October. We were told we have 1 week from the time those vehicles arrive to commit to pay for them. That is why the potential lack of a quorum tonight could be a big problem for us, because if a meeting is not held to approve those vehicles and actually then get approved by the Board of Aldermen, they will release those vehicles to another agency, and it will be at least 10 months to a year before we even have an opportunity to get vehicles again, which will put us behind six vehicles, which is basically our entire frontline fleet. So I'm asking that we find a way to get those vehicles approved, or at least somehow get me authorization to accept the vehicles that are coming in mid-October, or, you know, we're really going to be in trouble.
Chief. Oh, sorry, Charlie.
No, no, go ahead.
Chief, it's Gino. First of all, I just want to say congratulations on becoming the chief. It's the first time I had a chance to speak with you about that, number one. Number two, maybe you could just give approximate, but how many miles on average does, you know, a cruiser or a vehicle in the fleet usually put on in the city, you know, roughly
a year? I think it's fair to say probably 30,000 miles on average per vehicle. Yep. And we typically turn them over every 5 years, four years. So they end up going out, you know, 100,000 miles roughly, depending plus on the average, you know. So like I said, when we miss a 2 year cycle, it
hurts.
It puts cars on the road that are approaching 120,000 miles, which personally, as Mr. Sampson can attest to, no police officer likes driving a car that is shaking and rattling as you're trying to respond to an emergency. So
yeah, that 100,000 is like 250 from the, you know.
True.
Yep. Gotcha.
And Chief, Gino stole my thunder, but once congratulations, because I haven't said that to you yet either. I understand exactly where you're coming from, being in the business over 30 years. Unlike typical vehicles that, you know, like the fire department uses a truck for 25 years and it has no other service after that, at least with police vehicles, if they're frontline for 4 years, Gino, they can roll it into a backup fleet, which is what we do in Westport. And we use it just at typically or strictly as a road car that goes to, you know, people digging ditches and sits there. So you don't have to worry about
my,
you know,
type
pursuits.
Of work.
Right. You don't have to worry about pursuits and things like that. I understand the need, Chief, and I apologize. Last year, things didn't go the way that we wanted them to. And I will recommend at the end of this meeting, and the mayor's here to listen to me say this, that we move these two vehicles forward because they are ARPA eligible, and that the Board of Aldermen, who has passed a vote that, you know, we will look at anything that goes for ARPA funding. We add this to the agenda at our October 13th meeting to take care of this immediately. So you do have an answer for your vendor right away, because you are right. I know what these vehicles go through. I know what they go through on a daily basis. And a police car with 120,000 miles in my, a police car with 80,000 miles, in my opinion, isn't safe, but I get you can run it to maybe 100, but this would probably be on my priority list. So I will make sure that I pen something tonight and move it forward to the mayor, asking for this to be on the agenda to be funded via ARPA at our October 13th meeting, if you don't mind, sir.
Yeah, I agree, Charlie. I was going to ask you, we don't need to keep this on capital plan. We could just pull it over, you know, pull these out of capital plan and put it in ARPA to move it forward, so it doesn't get held up if he gets the call and says they're available, right?
Understood. And I believe this is a priority.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be great. And I appreciate your efforts.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us tonight. And once again, I apologize if we don't have a quorum.
No worries. Thank you.
All right. Mark, your turn, brother. I apologize. I don't have your items, but I will type them in as you speak about them. So
the floor is yours, sir. Thank you. I appreciate your efforts. And, you know, again, it's hard to get a quorum for these meetings when the meetings are called.
on a day when you know that a lot of people can't come. So I guess it's a little difficult sometimes, but I know it's tough.
My only rebuttal to that is there was a Google thing sent out or whatever the heck it was. And this was like the day that we could put things together. So moving forward, hopefully we can get more attendance and we make it more viable for everybody involved on this committee.
Definitely. So the first item that we have this, then I had submitted this previously, is to purchase the laser. And again, this is not just for the town clerk's office. It's really like for all of City Hall. It's the product is called LaserFiche, and it is allows for the scanning of documents and make them all searchable. Right now, we don't have like an overall system for having the searchable documents for the minutes that go back, you know, to the 1600s. So this product will allow us to do that on a going forward basis, so that it'll be easier to search for the public and for staff. The other item is the
an approximate cost.
It's $12,000, I think, or thereabouts.
$13,000.
The initial fee, and then there's an annual like subscription fee to that.
Understood.
The other item would be the it's called Civic Clerk, and it is a multifaceted program to maintain our boards and commissions, because there's been problems trying to keep that straight and up to date, and also would help with agenda management for all of the boards and commissions, so that there is a program for documents to be able to be uploaded and have accessibility of that stuff, and again searchability, and it'll bring it right into the whole process of keeping track of that stuff.
Mark, is that a software or a program or something? Or
yeah, it is. It's a software program.
Okay, gotcha.
Mark, does that relate at all with the $20,000 that you typically get on a yearly basis for the scanning of documents?
Nope, that money would be like to then scan the documents into the software.
All right, and the Civic Clerk product, approximate cost?
That one is, I believe it's a $10,000.
So trying to, and once again, obviously this committee's got to come up with some financing.
There's one other item too. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, all right, go ahead with your, I'll hold my comment for a second. Go ahead with your last item.
Yeah, the last item is the at some point in 2006, a decision was made to not pay a third party vendor to codify the ordinances, and the city at the time said they were going to kind of do it on their own. So that is really not a smart way to do it. It's just too difficult. So it's very difficult for us to, and for the public to have the current accessible, up-to-date ordinances, zoning regulations, and things that you adopt, you know, on an ongoing basis. So that we're in the process of compiling that, so that there's accessibility to that. There's going to be
one spot.
Pardon?
One spot for them.
Yeah. So everything will be in one spot, and it'll be, you know, as soon as something is adopted, we can upload it and it'll all be in there and codified with number.
You muted yourself, Mark.
Definitely.
He's still talking.
He's trying. Yeah, he was. But go ahead, Mark.
We lost you, Mark.
Sorry. So, yeah, this will codify. It'll allow things to go in real time. I don't know where I got cut off. But, I mean, to allow when things are adopted, or revised. The old stuff comes out, the new stuff goes on, it'll be in real time online. And then, you know, printed copies are kind of passe at this point, but it'll allow for greater searchability. And then, you know, but that's an another
software.
Well, it's the software is a minimal amount, but the bigger, the project itself is probably about $15,000 because we had to go back manually to 2006 to get all of the ordinances up to the current time. And we're almost done with that to be able to send that to the, to get a final quote on that. But we figure it should be around $15,000.
All right. So am I safe in saying that these are technology upgrades that would allow or improve or expand the public access to government information through electronic portals?
100%. 100%.
So they are LOSIP eligible.
Yep.
Excellent.
And the last one is the ongoing one is the scanning of those documents, because that what we have seen with the cost of scanning them to get the documents in there, especially the ones that we don't have already in there, it's much more efficient to have somebody do it than for us to even try to begin that process in-house. So,
you would send out all the documents that we got to a third party, let them scan everything in, and then feed it back to us either in thumb drive or whatever.
The stuff that does not already exist digital. Gotcha. Because also part of that is pursuant to statute, that those permanent records have to be the practical part of it for us to use it. The practical access to it and expanded access is the digital part of it.
Right.
But the state regulation through this, because we're governed by the state library on this, is the permanent record, which needs to be 500-year acid-free microfilm. Many, many of our records are not in that place. So we are vulnerable because
we got to go and get all the archive documents need to be digitized and put into the system.
Right. And to try to do it, the prudent way to do it, which I don't know why they didn't do this before too, is to scan them and microfilm them at the same time, so you don't have to pay twice for the records.
Mm-hmm. That's because we like to do everything all at once, so then we could replace it all at once.
Well, yeah, and that's why I've never proposed trying to do it all in at one shot. I think it's better to be methodical in trying to be organized so that we have better and more complete access to the records.
Yep, I gotcha.
I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you for your consideration.
All right. Did I miss anybody else who's on here? I think.
You mentioned the City Hall one. I don't know if there were anything, but it's hard to see your.
Right. Let me just move back over. So I have been speaking to the mayor about City Hall. The mayor is on here. They are trying to do a planned step fix for it so that we're not expending, you know, $5 million up front. And don't get me wrong, it's not $5 million. I'm just throwing that number out, but they have been planning a step phase for it. There are no hard numbers or anything moving forward. The plan is being put together as we speak. So we can fill this in later, Gino.
Yeah, I think he's probably in the next week or two, we'll have some preliminary numbers. So, with the architect and whatnot. So we're working on that. So we'll get something.
And I do know that the majority, if not all the work can be covered under LOSIP. So,
I believe some ARPA funds can be.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. ARPA, not LOSIP, ARPA funds. Gotcha. So we'll add that in as we move along.
Yep.
Because we have spoken to everybody who is here tonight. There are still a couple of things that are outstanding. I'm sure City Hall needs things like the cable mark that runs from the new audio visual system in the Alderman chambers to the back. You know, we those things we should probably look at. So if it is a concern, we should move forward. We didn't get anything from the Derby Public Library yet. So I've asked the mayor's office to reach out. And so hopefully within the next, you know, end of the week, beginning of next week, we have something there. Because these, what I've listed here, Gino, is typically the people that have asked on a yearly basis.
Yep.
But, you know, moving forward, this commission has, this committee has to move and do things. So if they don't put in, it is what it is. We'll have to deal with it.
We could only wait so long too. Right. You know what I mean? So we've asked a couple of times, but I think Charlie, I think you're right. I think it was a good start to get some numbers, at least in the spots for now. And then as a couple late things get inputted here. And then when Christine's here too, we'll get the information from her, but at least we had this meeting to get, I would have never known that the chief needed those two cars right away and that, you know, potentially we could get two of them in October. If we missed that, I mean, now we're four behind and it'll be mess, but tonight was good.
And that's why, I mean, when it comes to the police department, that's why I would probably, you know, I'm going to send an email to the mayor's office.
Just we got a few options.
That we look at it at least on our agenda to discuss it.
Yep.
Because, you know, once again, in the business, that's a bad thing. So,
Charlie,
yes,
Ms.
Chemises, how are you?
I am well. I don't like to intrude like this, but as a recording secretary for Parks and Rec since 1995, I know that they have serious safety concerns about back fencings, et cetera. Can you reach out to Dennis as you're putting together this plan?
I will ask the mayor to reach out to Parks and Rec, either to Dennis to find out if he needs something else.
He is working on his wish list.
All right. So we'll do the best we can. And I will actually just kind of throw them in here as a placeholder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some stuff might be from Dennis that Doc took care of too, with the trees or security in that back parking lot. Maybe something was included there. So maybe,
His was more with the community center.
And okay. Gotcha.
Community center and the Bradley School, the backfield, the fencing and everything. I guess it's curling and it's.
Yes, you're right.
50,000. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. I will leave a placeholder in there. Once again, because we don't have a quorum, no official actions are going to be taken tonight. My only action, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I will codify this sheet. I will clean it up a little bit. I will forward it back to your office and just ask you to forward it to the rest of the members on the committee, because I don't have everybody's email Absolutely. Address.
Yep. If you can get that to Walter, and we'll have that out by Monday.
And Charlie, once maybe you get the sheet, you know, doctored up a little bit, maybe we can get Mark to, by that time, both of them, the video and the audio and your sheet could all come to everyone at one time. So in one email, if it's possible. So this way here, they could look at the sheet and review this meeting and get brought up to speed. So we could, put our foot on the gas here.
Understood. Mark, how long does it take to actually get the audio up?
The audio will be up in the morning, and if it's urgent, I'll do it after 8:00.
Well, I'm the only reason I'm doing this sheet tonight, Mark, is because I'm leaving at 2:30 in the morning. So I would say as long as it's up by Monday, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it, Mark.
All right.
Safe travel.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sorry to run all that, but I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you for letting me do that.
Perfect. Absolutely, Charlie. Thanks for the spreadsheets and all. Anything? I lost my the agenda.
You're on number six there, I think, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So six. Anything else on number six? I think we went through the whole list.
I Gino hit it.
Yep. Number six. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
There you go.
I'll second, Charlie.
All right.
Thank you. Yep. See you guys soon.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you for joining.